Hey y'all, I'm Jess Darnell, and welcome to the final episode of the first season of Happy Queer Mind. It's been so beautiful to work through this podcast and hear responses and see y'all's support. And I want to say thank you, but I also want to say this. I really want the next season to engage with you all in a different, more dynamic way, and I want to hear from you. So, if you have questions, if you have topics you want dissected, if you have anything you want to share at all, you can send me a message on the podcast page of my website, juicethepoet.com/podcast, or you can reach out with a voice memo on anchor.fm/happyqueermind. Okie dokie, fam. Let's close this sucker down. Do you love to love? Do you long for love? Do you worry that you'll never find love? Have you found love? Are you unsure how love looks on you? Are you asking yourself, am I even worthy of love? These are all majorly normal questions to be asking yourself. The world is so obsessed with the concept of love, so it's really difficult to understand it for yourself on a really individual level because it's just nonstop programming and propaganda about what love is. And it's so flipping confusing. Firstly, when I was a teenager, I was so unaware that anyone was interested in me, and I chose instead to notice and devote my attention to the fact that I was dating nobody. And because I was dating nobody, I figured I wasn't worth dating. And I looked toward the old broads of Hollywood for comfort. I'd move through life like some jaded old lady, assuming and entertaining the idea that I would just never find love. And that the only love I would find would be on the stage as an actor, and even then it would never satisfy me because that's what happens to well-loved actors. The fame is too much for them, and they see their tragic end in a hotel room somewhere in downtown LA. So there was this sort of silly, and I can say that now in hindsight, this sort of silly delusion that my life was just one big torch song. I started my self-help journey during the summer after my first year of college, and I never expected I'd be making a podcast about what I'd learned at all. But telling you that I honestly believed that I would only be able to come out after I found the perfect man doesn't really seem to cut it. I was so deep in my own turmoil and anxiety. I had this horrendous resignation happening where I just didn't think I would ever be accepted, ever. And that even when I moved out of the house and became a famous actor, as was the plan at the time, I would have to remain closeted as an actor. Closeted forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because if I was out and gay, accepting my Oscar, my parents would find out. And even thinking about it now, I was creating for myself a means of keeping myself closeted and, at the same time, keeping myself from being the actor I wanted to be and playing the roles that I wanted to play. So I couldn't be the actor I wanted to be if I was to stay closeted, but I was too afraid to come out. So in the same breath, I was keeping myself locked away from my dreams, but I was also keeping myself locked away from my own authenticity. Really complex stuff. And I'm sure you all have your own crazy things that you've knitted together for yourself. But the problem was, I literally knew nothing about love or romance, save for the examples I saw demonstrated in film. And particularly in old movies, because, hello, we were a queer child, so I was drawn to the Doris Day and Rock Hudson films and stuff like that. So like Doris Day is out on the town and meets Rock Hudson, and I mean obviously in this example I'm Doris Day, but she meets him in a cool and classy bar somewhere, right? So when I moved out of the house, I'd literally go for walks. I was exiting my home and going for walks, hoping that I would somehow cross paths with the man of my dreams. I literally remember getting on the train one night and being like, maybe tonight's the night I meet the one. And I'm like by myself. I'm not planning on going anywhere. I'm planning on walking. So I actually told this to one of my friends once, and to hear the words, "But Jess, that's just a movie. That isn't how it works," was a really tough pill to swallow. Especially because I dreamt about this chance encounter that would lead to a whirlwind, true love, romance novel, passionate affair. And honestly, who doesn't? But I was throwing myself into fantasy, almost in a way to keep myself from true intimacy. Because there were many nights where I would go out and be like, maybe tonight I'll meet the one. But if I was to encounter anybody, I was so afraid of doing anything sexual or otherwise. I was not about just to go home with someone. I couldn't do that. So I go for these walks all the time. Watching, waiting, winking at strangers. I walked all over London, and I mean all over. I know that city center like the back of my hand. And one day, I was out with another American friend of my course. We were out walking somewhere, and we'd say something stupid, I wish I could remember it, to signal that we'd seen a cute guy. We had some kind of code word, and I wish I could remember what we'd say. Anyway, I said it because I saw someone, and my friend looked, and she turned to me and started laughing, and she went, "Every guy you think is cute looks exactly like you." But I suddenly went, whoa, I walk all over this city day and night, and it turns out I'm actually searching for me? Like it's me with whom I want to fall in love. What? And that's when a lot of the work kicked off, I think. I realized that I wasn't searching for somebody else to be a life partner. I was literally searching for myself. Waiting for me to love me. It was pretty wild. And I say all this because I think it's valuable to consider if you actually know what you're searching for, or you actually know what you're waiting for. Are you hoping you'll meet a guy that can solve all your problems? Do you just want someone who tells you you're pretty? Do you just want somebody because that's what society tells us to do? Or, if you're already in a relationship, are your needs being met? Are you settling? Are you afraid that if you terminated an unhappy relationship that you would never ever find love again? Do you think you're too old for love? Too old for a relationship? Whatever that means. As many of our episodes come to investigate, a lot of our problems as queer people can be traced back to our own self-esteem and our own self-worth. How do we view ourselves? How do we respect and love ourselves? How do we take action and take loving care of ourselves? The problem is, the world knows that there are those who are desperate for love and validation and appreciation. So it exploits that in order to sell an app, sell an outfit, sell, sell, sell. Media is not real life. Remember that film or that play or that book or that song is a condensed representation and distillation of reality. That's not to say that life does not have its poetic moments. It absolutely does. What I am saying is, dating apps don't want you to find love, they want you to download the dating app. They capitalize on someone's insecurity, someone's fear of being alone. Maybe I'll find someone on a dating app since I can't find anyone else in my, actual neighborhood, right? It's fear. It's literally fear of being abandoned, being alone, not being enough. And when you're starting from a place of insecurity, when your foundation for a relationship with someone else is, oh, we were both worried about being alone, so we downloaded this app and we found each other online, things aren't always guaranteed to work out. As always, absolutely no shame in dating apps. I've done them. My statement is that screens distort who and what people actually are, as do films and books and music and everything else. It's all other people's viewpoints. So proceed with caution, for your heart's sake. That's what I'm trying to say. Just like I was walking around, driving myself crazy, hoping I would run into Mr. Right, because that's how they did it on the old movies, in these works of fiction. And like, yes, I understand it's difficult. We want somebody. You know, it like it is an absolutely standard human emotion to want that, and it's okay. What I'm trying to get at is that time could instead be used to cultivate your inner strength, your inner light, your inner love, instead of waiting for someone to resolve your own problems. See what I'm saying? I say all of this because queer people are often really ill-equipped for romance. As an ill-equipped person, I'm saying that. We understand sex just fine, but there's not that much to explain there, right? Is it good for our mental health to have multiple partners or not? Do we long for something more? Are we just settling? Are we just scared of being alone? Ask yourself these scary questions. Have a think about what kind of person you want to be and what kind of life you want to have. Because when it comes down to it, when I began to understand how I could love myself, how I could stand up for myself, how I could communicate with my inner self, I suddenly found that I knew how to care for someone else, how to look out for a partner, how to be gentle, how to love another person, because I taught myself acting both as teacher and student. If our parents or peers didn't teach us, then we owe it to ourselves to learn it ourselves. If you've just broken out of a long-term partnership, consider how the time on your own has offered you space to process how that relationship experience was for you. Consider if there was balance, if your self-worth was in your hands or theirs. Consider if you enjoyed that dynamic or if it wasn't always the greatest. And as I'm saying all of this, if you start to feel angry or you start to feel upset, listen to yourself and consider why you might be reacting that way. Are you angry because you feel that I'm generalizing? Perhaps that points to a need to be noticed and singled out. Perfect. That's where the work is for you. Are you feeling depressed or spiteful, hearing me talk about my own personal discoveries? That's where the work is. Why is it depressing to hear another person share their positive experiences? Really dig in, y'all. That's where the fun is. And it's our final episode, so whether you think I'm full of crap or whether you think I'm the shit, understand that your life is your life, and it literally is nobody else's. Some days are easier than others. Some days are victories. Some days feel like a massive retreat backwards. Whatever you do, however you listen, in whatever way you take on these episodes, you have the power to make a difference in this world. We all do. But we can change the world if we change how we move through the world. Your dreams can be your reality. And it's time for our final affirmations of the season. Category is love. Everybody say love. All right, I'll say these three times, and do me a favor. It's the last episode of the season, so say them with me. Here we go. I love and approve of myself. I love and approve of myself. I love and approve of myself. I am worthy of love and affection. I am worthy of love and affection. I am worthy of love and affection. I deserve a loving partner with whom I can be my most authentic self. I deserve a loving partner with whom I can be my most authentic self. I deserve a loving partner with whom I can be my most authentic self. As always, friends, remember that self-respect is a skill, just like reading or skateboarding or knitting, and it requires practice and discipline. A few weeks ago, I challenged you to write a flourishing, passionate love letter to yourself. If you missed that challenge, feel free to go back and listen to episode 1 on coming out. If you sent that letter, though, it definitely should have arrived by now. Your challenge this week? Respond to that letter. You've come a really long way in 12 weeks. There's been a lot of growth, lots of thinking, lots of changing. So you mustn't keep yourself waiting. Write back. And of course, the same deal. Write the letter, put it in an envelope, seal it, stamp it, send it to yourself. Enjoy and good luck. Welcome back, everybody. Every episode of Happy Queer Mind ends with a short poem written by me. Our last poem this season is called Chopping Carrots. At first, not much. I mean, I didn't really think about it at all. I'd hear babies crying on airplanes, and I'd remember those weird moments from my childhood. I'd think, I remember that feeling. Crying so loud your face turns red. But then lately, in the library, in the cinema, on the train, in my kitchen of all places, I've started feeling this peculiar new feeling. I'm suddenly full. That's it. It's so simple. After so much work and so many tears and so many books and journals, I'm chopping carrots in the kitchen and I look out the window and I smile. And I love where I am. And I love who I am. And I love chopping carrots. And I love my kitchen. I smile. In the library, in the cinema, on the train, and in my kitchen, of all places. Chopping carrots. You guys, this concludes the first season of Happy Queer Mind. But there is more on the way, I promise. I want to say thank you, and I also want to remind you to reach out and support the podcast. Let me know what you want to hear covered in season 2. Happy Queer Mind is a weekly podcast produced by me, Jess Darnell, for Juice the Poet Publishing, and is hosted by Anchor. You can listen to us basically everywhere. Y'all know the drill. This week's poem, challenge, and affirmations can be found on my website, juicethepoet.com/podcast, until May 30th, 2021. Buy my book, Only Jewels, on Amazon and Apple Books, or on Instagram at juice.the.poet. I love y'all. We're here. We're queer. Let's take care of each other. We've been through enough garbage already. Until next time, I'm Jess Darnell, and this is Happy Queer Mind.